Hello, 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 everyone. It is your girl, Erica Janelle, with another episode of Relationship Talks with Erica Janelle. I am, of course, Erica Janelle, and I am super excited to come before you guys again this Sunday and wanted to continue on the topic that I talked about last week. Basically, in a nutshell, talking about how we have to learn to come together as both men and women, especially, and I can only speak for my community, the Black community, we have to learn to come together despite the common divide that has been happening with our culture for many, many years. It's been fed to us in the media. It's what you see on social media. It's all of these different things that are shaping the way relationships look in our community. And we have to come together and start realizing, one, where we have fallen short as a people, as a whole. What are some of the challenges that we face that caused us to get to this place where we are, so that we can come together and learn to heal and work together to restore the family unit. And it's been something that has plagued our community for hundreds of years, honestly, dating back to slavery times, when you think about how Black people were taken from whatever parts of Africa that they came from, and we were dispersed all over. They separated fathers and mothers and children and put us all over different places in the world. And that divide started this breakdown in the family unit. And then you go into more modern day issues where, you know, at least in my generation, I can speak from my experience, where many of the households did not have a mother and father. It was actually rare to be able to come into or meet friends that had a mother and father in the household. So you think about the systemic racism that has cultivated our culture and has basically had a strong grip and a stronghold on our culture. And it's caused our both males and females to no longer really be able to know who they are and really identify the roles that we are supposed to play within this world, not just in relationships, but just in this world in general, which is a very large topic. And I'm super excited. I will be having a very special guest to talk about it. Him and I share a lot of the same views, but he comes from a male perspective. I come from a female perspective, and we both understand where the division is happening. But we as a people are now perpetuating that cycle with some of the negative stuff that we're feeding into the media and social media, and, you know, watching these entertainers and these stars and their negative concepts of relationships and marriage and all of those things are feeding into the mindset of people in this day and age. And so I want to scratch the surface on it and do a part two to this message. It is very extensive. It is so many layers and levels to this stuff that it is not going to be just a one-time conversation. It is not going to be a conversation that I'm just going to have with just me and you guys, but it's going to be something that I want to talk about extensively with a lot of different people from different viewpoints, so that we can kind of come to a consensus as to what we've got to do to heal. I'm a person naturally that doesn't like to spend a lot of time talking about problems. I'm a person that likes to have solutions and find solutions to situations. And so I can only use my platform to use my voice to speak from my perspective. This does not in any way represent every Black person or every Black woman, but it represents me and it represents my mindset and just me spending a lot of time in prayer and really a lot of time, you know, engulfing myself in knowledge, learning a little bit about our history as a people and a culture, and kind of figuring out, okay, where was the breakdown? And then what are the steps that we have to take to get back to where we need to be? So one of the first things, and you know, I love some steps. One of the first things that I think is going to be super essential is us understanding where the division came from in the first place. What were the concepts that the enemy and, you know, racism has caused to destroy our concept of family, our concept of relationships, our concepts of marriage, our concept of unity, our concepts of coming together. And you cannot talk about that without talking about slavery. You cannot talk about that without talking about the drug epidemic that plagued the Black community when crack was put into our communities to put people addicted, you know, get people addicted to drugs and separate families. that was one of the biggest things that you saw shift. Because if you think back, to the 60s and the 70s, Black people were very strong and very powerful and very confident in who they were as a people. We united, we came together in the Dr. King era and coming together as a people and trying to bring about change. But you saw a sudden shift, and that big shift happened when the drug epidemic came into our communities and was targeted in our communities. Let me just say that. It didn't just come into our communities. Our communities were targeted by racist people. And they intentionally targeted our communities, put drugs in our communities, have, you know, a lot of our families strung out. And then, you know, of course, drugs, unfortunately, will cause you to pull away from your families and your loved ones, or your family will get so tired of you stealing from them or lying to them that they want to put you out. And it causes a division. So there's been a very specific shift. When you look back to when we were unified back in the Dr. King and the Malcolm X eras, and then you come back to the 70s, late 70s into the 80s when the crack epidemic happened, that's when you saw a lot of the single moms raising kids. You saw a lot of the fathers no longer in the households. Well, we know that that's a part of the shift. And we know that as a result of that, the downfall of that, or the one of the downsides of that, not only was the family destroyed, but ultimately, the women were trying to raise children on their own. And I'm a firm believer that there is something that a man brings into the life of a child that he can develop in children. And there's something a woman brings into the life of a child and they bring and develop. And when you come together, there are things that we naturally do innately. Women are more nurturing. Men are usually more stern and are more about the rules and the regulations, and they can get the children to get in line a lot easier. Whereas moms are more, I'm not saying everybody's the same, but we typically fall into more of the nurturing category. We want to figure out why the kids are acting out and try to figure out how to love on them and love them through their situations. Whereas fathers have that stern discipline and that strictness that children need. And so you bring it back to this day and age, my generation, most of us grew up in households without fathers, and our mothers, bless their hearts, they did the best they could, you know, trying to raise the kids by themselves, but there was a big void there. So that result, in my opinion, has caused the shift in the masculinity and the femininity of both, you know, males and females. And I'm talking from a heterosexual viewpoint. This is not to say anything about the gay or lesbian community. I'm specifically speaking from a heterosexual point of view. And you come into these households and you see a lot of the young boys, they're no longer, well, the young boys that have become men, they're no longer chasing. They're no longer being the hunters, not chasing, but being the hunters. So they tend to kind of lay back and got comfortable watching the women take over and run the household while working and taking care of the kids. And then you have the women that have watched their mothers be strong women that had to hold it all down by themselves. And you see the women stepping up and being more in their masculine energy, being, you know, leaders and being the authoritators and the disciplinarians and all of those things. So it's a shift that's happened in our community. And so it's so many layers and levels to this thing that we can't just talk about it from, okay, let's figure out how to get the men and the women to be on the same page without going back to the history of where the breakdown began. So a lot of our young men don't know how to be men because they weren't around strong male role models that were good men or knew even how to be men themselves. So how can we then expect our men to take their rightful place and be the leaders and be able to lead their families when most of them don't even have a concept of what real leadership looks like? In their mind, masculinity means, you know, a false sense of masculinity, full of ego and full of pride, and you got to do it my way and do it this way. I'm the man. But that's not really what a man is. That's not really what makes a man. It's not you being able to tell people what to do. It's really about you learning to be a disciplined human being and leading by example. But then you flip it around and you look at the women, and they're so used to having to be the only person handling so many things, and you wonder why the women have become so basically in their masculine energy, so strong-willed, and they want this way, and they want that way, and they're like, if you don't make any money, I'm not interested in you, and blah, blah, blah. And I get it. Like, all of those things, while the points are valid that have gotten us to where we are, we now have to look at where we are and figure out what we can do to fix the problem. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the problem and talking about my viewpoints of the problem. But what I will say is this: we have to learn how to become what we are innately meant to be. As women, that does not mean that we're not leaders. I am a leader. I'm a leader in business. I'm a leader in my job. I'm a leader in my home. I am a leader. But at the end of the day, I don't want to have to do all of the leading by myself. There are things that I am good at, and there are things that my mate are going to be good at. And whatever those things are that we are both good at, those are the things that we should be embracing in each other. So if I'm the better person that manages the finances better than my mate, then I need to manage the finances for our household. But if my mate is better at, let's say, cooking, then maybe he needs to be the one to prepare the meals. It doesn't mean that you have to do things according to the way that anybody says that it has to be done. The bottom line is we have to learn to work together, to look at each other's strengths and look at each other's weaknesses, and then be able to come together and figure out how we can eliminate the weaknesses and both operate in our best strong sense of self. And so for me, and I'm speaking from myself personally, I am a leader at work. I am a leader in business. I don't necessarily want to come home and have to make all of the decisions. I want to be able to have a partner that, yes, if I have ideas and there are things that I want to bounce off of my partner, I want to be able to come to my partner and say, hey, baby, what do you think about this? I'm thinking about maybe, you know, launching my business in Europe. What do you think about this? These are some of the things that I've researched. And I want to be able to have that sounding board, that person to be able to say, okay, baby, well, maybe we need to wait until this is done because maybe we're working on this over here. That's what I'm talking about. It's partnership. But we've got to get to the place where we're no longer fighting each other. And I can hear everybody in the back of my head saying it right now. I can hear it. You know, the guys are saying, well, these women, they're just all about money and it's all transactional. And I have to say, it's disappointing to me. But I agree. A lot of the women are all about transactional relationships. It's about what you can give me and what I can give you. But it's not just the women. It's the men, too. So we have to come together and figure out where we're lacking, what we're missing, and then how to come together and heal those wounds, those broken, missing pieces that we have in each other. And so it always starts with the self. So first, like I said, recognize where we are and where we've come from. But then secondly, you have to do some work within yourself. Be real with yourself. Understand why you're angry. Understand why you're hesitant to love, why you have a negative viewpoint on relationships, and deal with it. And you know, I'm a big proponent and a big fan of therapy. I'm a big proponent and a big fan of coaching. I am a coach. All of those things are necessary for you to really deal with your traumas. Because we all have traumas, whether it be from your childhood, whether it be from just everyday life stuff that's happened, whether it be from, you know, something that happened to you yesterday. We all have different traumas. We all have different sources of trauma. But it is up to us whether or not we want to let the trauma overtake us and overshadow us, or we want to do something about the trauma. And for me personally, I don't want to let anything have that much power over me. I want to be able to take my life in my own hands and control my own trajectory for my life. I don't want another human being to have that control over me. I control the trajectory of my life. If I want to be successful, I've got to put the things in place to be successful. If I want to, you know what it's like to have love in my life, then I have to be willing to work on myself and understand where I'm lacking in the area of love, and then be willing to be what it is that I'm expecting in return. One thing I always tell my clients and I tell my friends, and they know this, they probably are going to laugh when they hear this, but I always tell them, be what it is that you want. So I know for me personally, I date myself. And when I date myself, I take myself to nice places. I do nice things for myself. I treat myself well because I want to set the stage and set the precedent for what I want my partner to treat me like. So I treat myself well. That means taking care of my body. That means taking care of my mental health. That means taking care of my finances, taking care of the things that are important to me to help me grow, growing in business, doing the things that are needed for me to be successful in business. All of those things play a part in me being able to ask for the thing that I want. I am being what it is that I desire. So when I, you know, say that this is my standard and this is what I am willing to take in a mate, it's not because I feel like I'm better than anybody else, but I am being what it is that I want. So I'm never asking God for something that I've not worked on becoming myself. If I'm asking for somebody that's loving and caring and thoughtful and considerate and strong and respectful and bold and giving and all of those things, then I have to be what I'm asking for. And in if you're a spiritual person, you understand what I'm talking about. Whether you call it karma or whether you call it seed time and harvest, whatever you call it, I'm sowing the seed to reap the harvest of what it is that I desire. I'm not asking for something that I've not sown the seed for. Whatever I'm asking for, I've sown the seeds for. I've put in the work for. I'm becoming the better version of myself. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Do I have to wait till I'm perfect to be able to receive my mate? No. But I'm going to, as long as I have breath in my body, my goal is to be the best version of myself. As should we all have that as our goal. You know, we have to put it before us in order to be able to manifest it. So I work on myself daily. Like I tell you guys all the time, I go to therapy every week. Even when things are great, I go to therapy. When things are bad, I go to therapy. I go to therapy because it's something that I do for myself. I look at therapy like an oil change for a car. You don't just go take your car in for an oil change when the car is already broke down and beat up. You do it as a preventative measure. And I do therapy. I look at therapy and coaching as a preventative measure. As a matter of fact, I'm signing up for coaching next week. I am a coach. I am a certified life coach, but I am also signing up for coaching for myself because there are still things that I want to grow in. There's still things that I want to learn. There's still things that I know I am not the end all be all and the expert at everything. I still have things that I want to learn and grow in, things that I want to be developed in, things that I want to work through, issues from my childhood, issues from my past relationships, things that I'm dealing with, but there's always somebody else that can give you additional information. You never get to the point where you ever stop learning. You should learn from the day you are born to the day you die. You should be learning. And so for me, I've made it a point to be at a position and a place of learning all the time. I always want to learn. I always want to grow. I always want to excel. I always want to be the best version of myself because you never know how God can use those gifts and those things and that work that you've done to help impact somebody else. And let's be clear, I've said it many times and I'll say it again. Everything that we do in this earth is not just for us. It's so that we can learn from it, grow from it, heal from it, and then help somebody else. We're always meant to help pour into each other. And I am just wanting us as a people, as humans, but I'm speaking specifically to my community, the Black community. I need us to stop fighting each other and come together. Let's have conversations. Let's have dialogues. This is not a transactional thing. Relationship should never be transactional. You should be able to love somebody freely and authentically from your heart. It's not about what you can get from them. I want to love my partner because I want to give to him. I want to pour into him. I want to take the gifts and the talents and the love and the nurturing and the all of the things that make me who I am and pour that into my mate. And I want my mate to do the same with me. I don't want to fight with my mate. I want to fight with my mate. Not with them, but be with them. In other words, be unified. I want to be in unison with my mate. I want us to be at a place where if I know that this is something that my husband is struggling in, I can go and I can help build him up so that I can help him get the tools he needs to be able to be the best version of himself. And that's what relationships are supposed to do. We're not meant to fight each other. We are meant to grow together. And even if I'm growing at a rate that may be faster than his, or he's growing at a rate that may be faster than mine, we have to still come together and work on a common ground to keep everything going. Relationships are not easy, but I say it all the time. Anything that's worth anything requires work, requires effort, requires your time, requires your energy. And if it's worth it to you to have a positive, healthy, loving relationship, then it's worth the investment. My men, black men, you are worth the investment. I see you. I understand the struggles that you go through because as a black woman, I go through struggles as well. And there's nobody that's going to be able to understand the racism and being targeted and being, you know, made to feel like you're less than and made to feel like something is wrong with you because of the color of your skin more than a black woman. And vice versa. Nobody's going to understand the struggle of a black woman more than a black man. So in my opinion, I just want us to come together. I don't want us to fight. We're done fighting. Let's call a truce. Let's call a truce and let's get to the place where we can grow together, develop together, help each other, because we're so much more powerful together than we will ever be divided. We've got to stop dividing ourselves. No longer can we blame it on the slave days and the slave trade. We now have the ability to make our own decisions. And I'm not saying that systemic racism is not a thing, because it is. It is still happening today. It is very prevalent in our society. But we have to wake up and say, enough is enough. My black men are not my enemy. And our black men have to say, my black women are not my enemy. We are companions, we are confidants, we are allies. We are not supposed to be each other's enemy. And if we come together from that perspective, there is nothing that we cannot conquer. There is nothing that we cannot be successful with. So I just wanted to give you guys this little word today. I know it's not a lot, and there's a very, very deeper message that I would like to share. And I'm going to have a couple of different guests on to talk about it a little bit deeper from different perspectives, because it breaks my heart when I look at some of the podcasts that I see on social media and how the men are talking down to the women and the women are talking down to the men. And I'm all about building each other up. I don't like when we fight each other. I just want us to come together. I just want us to love each other. I want us to empower each other. I want us to push each other to grow and become the best versions of ourselves. And we are going to get there. My faith is strong. My heart is there. I am ready to put in the work to help my people get where we need to be, because until we wake up and realize what's been happening in our society, we will continue those same patterns. And unfortunately, the generational curses will continue with our children and their children and their children. So let's not let these generational curses continue. Let's be the strong people and change the trajectory for our relationships. Let's change the trajectory for our households to where it's not the norm to see single parent homes, but it's the norm to see husbands and wives and families living together, even if you're not married, but just being together, being a unit that's solid, not dipping and dabbing and cheating and abusing each other and hurting each other. Let's come together and work toward having a successful family unit. We can do this. It's been done before. And I truly firmly believe that we will start to see some shifts and some changes. We have the total solar eclipse tomorrow, and my prayer has been, Lord, shake it up, open up people's eyes so they can see that we are not each other's enemies, that we are allies. I hope you guys got something from this today. It definitely is heavy, heavy, heavy on my heart, and it is a big part of why I do what I do. I want to see us happy. I want to see us successful, myself included. I'm ready. I am ready for my husband. I know you're out here. I'm ready for you. And I want us all to have it. I want us to have happy, successful households and relationships, because that's what God wants for us. I love you guys. Have an amazing week. Bye.